Hello everyone, my name is Tom Regan. I'm a licensed addiction counselor and a certified grief counselor for Heartview Foundation in Bismarck. And welcome to Recovery Chronicles. This is a weekly program that celebrates long-term recovery with a capital R, I hope, recovery. Our special guest today, I'm going to say, is very special. He's a longtime friend of mine, but he also happens to be the mayor of Bismarck, North Dakota, Mr. Mike Seminary. So,
hey, Tom, how are you?
Thanks for coming on. I guess we've been friends for a long time, and you must kind of really trust me to come on the program here like this, right?
Well, I think I do trust you and your dear friend, and I think we've known each other almost from the day I moved here in February of 1985. We go way back.
Yeah. We got here, as you know, we're from Wisconsin, and we have that in common, too. My hometown is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but we moved here in 1981, so we kind of beat you, you know. So Mike is obviously here because he is a person in long-term recovery, and that's what this program is primarily about. So my first question is, you know, you're a public figure, open to criticism. So why would you be willing to come on a program like this to talk about addiction and recovery?
Great question. You know, first of all, you're open to criticism whether you talk about real important stuff or not, right?
Right.
I think enough people have come to know that I serve in the capacity as a mayor, prior to that as a commissioner for the city of Bismarck, because I love Bismarck. But more importantly, you know, I've stretched my arms out and I say, unashamedly, I love everyone I serve, whether they like me or not. And so if with that context, I would share my story about my recovery, because it's the story of a lot of people. It's an addiction. It's a disease. And why wouldn't I want to help someone else that has struggled with the same disease that I have? You know, if we were here talking about cancer, I would talk about cancer. If it's some other disease, it's a disease. Mm-hmm. And the thing about this personal disease is that there's always been a stigma about it.
Yes.
And they judge you because of it, right?
Well, absolutely.
Why would we do that? So I'm here to help in any way that I can. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And when you say that, I also think of Catherine Helgesbergum, you know, our first lady, who is opening up new doors and has been open about her recovery, and what a wonderful thing. And the governor this week, in his State of the State address, talked a lot more about recovery reinvented, and it's all good.
And I would say amen to what both of them are doing. The fact that she is willing to share some of the most personal information because she cares and wants to help and understands it's a disease, and we have to change the conversation to make this work better.
Right.
I'm on the team.
Right. And you also know, and I think our listeners know, that I'm a person in long-term recovery also. And my drug of choice was alcohol, and I believe that it was the same with you. I should say that I had the privilege of interviewing you a few years ago for the cover of City Magazine, the Bismarck Mandan City Magazine, and wrote a cover story about you. And I'll never forget your story of recovery, or the day that you had a very spiritual experience that kind of led to your recovery. Would you tell us that story?
Oh,
it's
sure.
A very dramatic story.
You know, so it's essentially, one day my wife looks at me and says, "You drink too much. You got to stop drinking." You know, for me, it was alcohol. And let me pause for a minute and share kind of, if you don't mind, my family story.
Yeah.
Mom drinks very little ever. Dad, who's not here anymore, You know, after mowing the lawn, you might have a beer, right? But on my mother's side of the family, her father, his brother, the type of stereotypical alcoholic we all used to think about back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. So it's in the gene pool, so to speak, right?
Right.
That's the way some diseases work. Sure. You don't know if it's going to be you or not, right?
Right.
So my wife, Deb, tells me that one day. And for me, it was, my wife's telling me something really, really important here. Mm-hmm. And I prayed. Mm-hmm. For me, I turned to God, because mm-hmm. that's also an important part of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, my priorities, as you well know, Tom, is first my relationship with my Lord and Savior, then my family, then the community, then my job, which my boss doesn't really like to hear that order, but that's the way it works. And so I said, I need your help. I've got to stop
and
this.
And you're talking about your job other than being mayor of the city of Bismarck. Okay.
Yeah, the community's number three. And so I turned to God. I said, I need your help. I got to stop this.
Yeah.
And it was very, very profound that particular night. You know, there are other times, I think, like a lot of us that have the disease, I would think to myself, I got to stop drinking. I did not, like many, turn to an organization or some other group, maybe because I was embarrassed, maybe because I was nervous for all the wrong reasons, right? Mm-hmm. But it was that day that there was this incredible, powerful moment.
You're fortunate. Mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky. Mm-hmm. I am an incredibly... I did the same thing with smoking, by the way, which is very similar.
Yep. Before you go on to that, I do recall part of your story being kind of an amazing ride or drive on I-94, and you heard a certain song on the radio.
That's my... the day I became... what I would call born again. That's the day where I said, I've got to change my life. Those are two different stories. That's the day that I was driving from Fargo to back to Bismarck after a business relationship discussion. And I'm just a little west of Jamestown, and I'm looking for a station to listen to, preferably rock and roll or more powerful. Mm-hmm. And just, a couple minutes west of Jamestown, I'm pushing a button and there's a song that comes on. They're singing about Jesus. And I'm saying to myself, that's the last thing I want to hear right now.
Right.
And so my car starts to kind of shimmy as I'm trying to push the button. Happens again. So I pull over because I'm now kind of sweating. And I listen to the lyrics of the song. And I like it happened yesterday. The song was very profound. The voice was incredible. I called the station because it was KNDR, and I said, "Who was that?" This guy named Ray Bolts, and the song was "God Gave Me Back My Tomorrow," I believe. Yeah. And that was the day I said, oh, "Wow." And the other thing was kind of interesting is it's almost impossible to get KNDR just a few minutes west of Jamestown. Mm-hmm. So an epiphany. It was an incredible moment where I realized that in things in my life, I've got to change because I can't control that stuff anyway. And then not too long after that, my wife says, you drink too much. You got to stop.
Right. Yeah.
And yes, Tom, I am lucky that the way I was able to overcome my need to consume. I also want to say this. When I talk about my story or my addiction and my disease or in my family, I never judge anyone that drinks. Plenty of people can drink, and it's like drinking water. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, I never was either.
I have the disease, you know?
Yeah. There was never enough. most heavy drinkers, if you don't mind me using that term, when a wife or someone else tells them to stop drinking, usually the first thing that happens is resentment. But you got the message in a much more constructive way.
Yeah, my wife loves me. I think she still does. And she was concerned. And most of my drinking, most of my consumption of alcohol generally speaking, was at home. When I was on business trips, I would never drink on business trips mm-hmm. because I wanted to make sure I mm-hmm. never interfered with what I was hired to do because mm-hmm. of my personal habit. Let me call it that. Mm-hmm. So it was at home a lot. So my wife saw it more than anybody ever would have or could have.
No, it's a heck of a story. And I should say that our guest today is Mayor Mike Seminary. On Recovery Chronicles, the mayor of Bismarck, and telling us his remarkable story of recovery, person in long-term recovery. As you know, and I work for Heartview Foundation, and it is a program based on the 12 steps, the so-called the 12 steps mm-hmm. of AA, which means it is a spiritual-based program. And your recovery came through your spirituality. So I'm not surprised by that. And I personally believe that good recovery or complete recovery or the best recovery you can have has to have that component of spirituality. Don't you agree?
You know, from my personal beliefs and my experiences, yes. I know that some people might look at that differently because of how they look at spirituality, et cetera, et cetera. But in my walk and in my life, my relationship with my Lord and Savior is incredibly important. It's my governor. Mm-hmm. It's the rudder of my boat, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so that just rules my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't judge anyone irrespective of their beliefs. If they don't agree with mine or they're not consistent with what I think or believe, because we're all different. But for me, Tom, to your question, mm-hmm. absolutely, it was the only way I was going to be able to have success.
Right. How do you use prayer in your recovery or on a day-to-day basis?
So I get up usually between 3:30 and 3:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And before my feet hit the floor, I'm in devotion time. I'm talking to God about my day. I'm talking about the things I did the day before and mm-hmm. thanking him or saying, God, I'm sorry for some things I did yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking him for, here are the things that I ask for every day. I ask for the wisdom of Solomon. I ask for the leadership skills of David. I ask for the heart of Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. And I ask for the patience of Job. And sometimes mm-hmm. they say, and I read that right now, by the way.
And with so, me? No, I'm just kidding.
And so, and then I start praying for people or the stuff that I have to do to give me guidance in all the decisions I have to make. And mm-hmm. I'm no different than anybody else. We all have a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And so I turn to him in the morning and I do it multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. how I end my day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is what we preach. I mean, this is one of the tools of recovery, prayer, you know, prayer and spirituality. I also know, because I've known you for a long time, and for that matter, you and I used to be running partners. I can't keep up with you anymore, but, you use exercise, you use physical fitness, exercise, as a tool. And, this is something else that we try to teach, convey, in therapy, in the treatment, setting. Talk about that a little bit. Yeah. How important is your...
It's critically important. Not everyone that has the disease of addiction is a type A, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I am. And so that is another form of addiction for me. I would be very frank about that. And it's an important, healthy one. And I'm going to be 64 my next birthday. It's a very rare occurrence where I'm not putting my 5 miles in a day. I've either have to be sick or it's like 35 below and I'm sick. Like some people say I'm sick anyway because I'm running. Yeah, right. So I need to get my 5 miles in because of all the things that means that means to me.
Right.
So it's spiritual time. It's energy time. I get to think time.
And you're releasing those natural endorphins, which are the positive chemicals.
And so it is very, very important to me. And again, I'll be 64 on my next birthday. I know eventually running is not going to be my friend, but I've been blessed to be able to do it since I started running in 19. It was either 75 or 76.
Oh,
it's been that long.
Are you running pain-free or relatively pain-free these days?
I'm really lucky. I get a little stiffness in the back, but again, I'm going to be 64. I think that kind of happens.
Yeah.
Especially if you sit a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm relatively pain-free.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. Not everybody can say that runs.
Yeah. Yeah. Any transplants? Knee transplants or
no? I've never had a surgery.
No, I'm getting real nosy here, but
I've never had surgery. I go in for my physical, and one of the doctors I talked to says there's no reason you should not continue running. You do not have some of the wear and tear that some athletes do. And again, I know eventually I'm not going to be able to say that.
Yeah, what a gift.
So I'm lucky, I mean, he's given mm-hmm. me some great gifts, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, and there again, gratitude and having gratitude is also wisdom one of the tools of recovery and staying in recovery. So
absolutely.
You seem to have it.
I'm grateful for many, many things, Tom. I am.
Well, you know, and some of us, I'll raise my hand, some of us keep gratitude journals, which I try to write in almost every day. I was writing in my gratitude journal this morning, as a matter of fact, and then I got a call from Heartview saying, we need you to do some fill-in here this morning. I call myself semi-retired, but... And some days I am, and some days I'm not. Well, so we've talked about your physical fitness program. I also want to talk about music with you a little bit, because that's something else that you might say we have in common, our love of music. And you've turned me on to some good tunes, you know, so... A time or two, you've given me a CD to take home and listen to, and we've had a lot of discussions about music. But certainly, music is the language of the soul. I mean, I firmly believe in that statement, and I'm not sure much else can move us as music can.
I would say that. Music and then the sense of, you know, smell. Those two senses, if you will, when you hear a song, particularly a song from the period of time where you were in junior high and high school, there are very few moments that strike responsive chords like that because of the changes we were going through then, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really profoundly memorable.
Well,
and then smell does the same thing. There are times you'll smell something, it will transport you to another place. Mm-hmm. Music does that to me a lot.
Sure.
And my mother sang the blues and gospel, so my roots are really in blues, gospel, some of those original rock and roll genres, and my bands did that. So today, I spend a lot of time, you know, with some of the great local musicians like Jennifer Lynn and Richard Torrance and others at Laughing Sun, or like this Sunday.
And I know you were with Eric
Church.
You were with Eric Clapton in Fargo on one of his birthdays, right?
Yeah, but not on the stage, in the band,
right?
Because he wasn't going to pay me enough. I had the opportunity to, along with my wife, to meet Eric Clapton on his 62nd birthday.
Beautiful.
When he was playing in Fargo. So again, this Sunday I'll be playing in church because you can't disconnect gospel, you know, blues, rock and roll, and it's profoundly impactful in my life.
There again, our friendship. You were the one who said, "Tom, Eric Clapton's autobiography is out, and you absolutely must get it and read it." And I did that.
Yeah, and he talks about his addiction, his disease.
Yeah.
And it's moving. Oh. And then with now what he's done with Crossroads to help others. You know, God bless that guy.
Yeah. And I know what instrument you play, but tell us what instrument you
Well, I play the blues harmonica. Mm-hmm. I sing. I used to play drums and percussion and some other instruments, but primarily now I play a blues harp, and I'll sing in church and with the choir, and that's nice because they don't hear me. They hear all the other good voices.
Well, and you've been known to stop in at a downtown lounge or nightclub from time to time and jam with the band. Isn't that right?
Oh, I love it. You know, there are lots of musicians I played with during when I first moved here in February of 85, and I was involved in broadcasting, as you well know, mm-hmm. and we'd do lots of, gigs and promos at bars, go figure, right?
Right.
And so I met musicians from the day I moved here, and some of them are my dearest friends to this day.
Yeah. And I imagine music being good for the soul, I mean, is also good for recovery. I mean, how would you comment on that? I mean, I know if I put, for example, as a person in long-term recovery, if I put on a certain song, and sometimes I know exactly which song I need at a given time, it can really change how I'm feeling.
Absolutely. the incredible powerful connection between those two, you cannot dismiss it. Again, music speaks to the responsive chords, the soul, if you will, mm-hmm. maybe like nothing else. Mm-hmm. And so if folks can find music that helps them with their desire to address their addiction, that disease of addiction, you need to do it.
Yeah,
I do it when I'm running alone. Sometimes, as you well know, I run with friends. When I run alone, I'm listening to music. And it helps me with every facet of my life. Can everybody say that? I don't know. But it clearly is important to me.
Yeah. Believe me, not everybody can say that. I talk about music a lot in therapy and such. And I think you grew up with music. I grew up with music. And I consider that a gift, the fact that I grew up in a musical household, But so when I say, speaking of memories and how music triggers memories, when I say to you, "Let It Be," what comes to mind? And I'm referring to Beatles.
Obviously, the Beatles, Paul McCartney, along with John Lennon, maybe in the top five greatest rock and roll singers of all time. So if you listen to "Oh Darling" and then "Twist and Shout," McCartney and Lennon, and you listen to those rock voices, you got to say to yourself, "Oh my goodness." Mm-hmm. So "Let It Be" is, for a lot of people, maybe in the top, our age anyway, top 10 greatest songs of all time.
Yeah. And and for me, it's a spiritual song.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you're familiar with the Serenity Prayer, which is the way we close every one of these programs, by the way. But it's kind of a short Serenity Prayer.
Yeah.
Let it be. I mean, and it's the word "Amen," of course, means "Let it be so."
So another way of looking that is looking at is thy will be done, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's His will, right? And for me, I do that every day. Once I had that change in my life in October of 1996, he controls this stuff. I don't. And I got to make sure that I'm always reminding myself of who really is in control.
Right.
And for me, it's not me.
I say those words many times per day, "Thy will be done," especially when I wake up at... 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock, but you're up by then. But, and I start maybe worrying about things. I just say, "Thy will be done. I don't want to worry about this. I'm giving it to you," So and that helps me.
See, before you get too close to the end of this, I want to say thank you, for doing this program. And thanks, to everyone here that makes this show possible. This is an incredibly important and powerful outreach. You're letting people know that you're not alone. You're letting people know that this is part of human nature in some way. This is letting people know that the addiction that you have is a disease. Don't think that people are judging you. This is about, you know, seeking the help that you're going to need, whether it's folks at Heartview or some other organization or institution, whether it's family, whether it's your pastor or your rabbi, whomever, and in understanding that there is this spiritual connection where you're not alone in any way, shape, or form. Reach out for help. There are people that care, that love you, and want to make sure that you're living the most productive, full of life possible. And this disease can rob you of that opportunity.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for those words. You've summarized the purpose of this program. I mean, in a nutshell, this program tries to create awareness of addiction in our community or in our part of the state or in our state. And number two, simply to give people hope. Like there's a lot of us who are in recovery with a capital R. And it's our responsibility and our commitment each and every day to try to remain in recovery, to do those things that are necessary, you know, whether that's prayer, exercise, to remain in recovery so that we can continue to help others, you know. And so,
Tom, I'm also on the board of Face It Together. That's how committed I am to being willing to share my story and let people know you're not alone. You're not weird. This we have this disease, and we can face this together, one way or the other.
And Face It Together has a website, and so does KDAC Radio. KDACFM.org is it? And you know, I don't know if you know this, but every one of these programs, these half-hour programs, is archived on that website so that people can listen to these interviews as podcasts. So that's great, you know, and each program is aired a couple of times too. And I want to say again, our guest today is Mike Seminary, the mayor of Bismarck. And he's been kind enough to spend some time with us today. And you're right, we kind of are running out of time. I didn't want to ask you any mayor questions. I said this wasn't going to be a political interview. But what does this kind of leadership, what does being mayor mean to you each and every day? How do you bring who you are into that task?
Well, first of all, anybody that has the job of public policy, it's about the people. It's not about you. And so you have to keep that in mind every single day. It's about putting in policy collectively with the people you work with, whether they're elected policymakers or staff, to put in an environment that is productive for everyone, that everyone has an opportunity, that it's fair, that it's equitable, and that you're doing what you can with resources that provides an opportunity where you're to attract and retain talent. And that's kind of how I look at it. If we can do that, we'll keep young people in Bismarck. If we do things that attracts and retains talent, that's sustainable policy. That's good leadership. Yeah. So that's how I look at what I do.
Yeah. Well, you're a person I admire, a person I've always admired. You're like a brother to me. You know, it's been a long-term friendship, and I want to thank you again for being on the program.
Well, thank you. And Tom, I would be remiss if I didn't say I need to thank my wife, who I love so dearly. Were not for Deb stepping out and making the statement, I probably wouldn't be here today talking to you about the importance of this is a disease, this addiction thing, and there's people that love you and that want to help you, like my wife, Deb.
Right. Well, God bless you. And we close each program with the Serenity Prayer. So God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you, Mike Seminary.
Thank you, Tom. Amen to that. Appreciate it.